Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues, The Baltimoreans, and Listers, A Glimpse into Extreme Birdwatching.
Well, I've got some funny movies to talk about this week. Actually, I don't consider all of them funny, but a lot of people do. So we'll have some humor today that I'll be talking about. The first one I want to talk about is definitely funny, and it is Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. This is actually, even the title is funny. And of course, this is a long delayed sequel to the movie called This is Spinal Tap that came out many a long year ago, almost 40 years ago, actually. And it was directed by Rob Reiner, who also directed this new sequel. And I have to say right off the get-go here that Spinal Tap 2 is not as funny as the original This is Spinal Tap, but it's still pretty funny. If you really want to see something hilarious, the first movie just holds up so well for me. The second movie is not quite as good, but it has some very, very nice stuff along the way. So the first movie had Rob Reiner, who directed the film, actually playing a fictional director within the movie, a guy named Marty DeBerge, who says that he has made a documentary, and then he says, a rockumentary, if you will, about a legendary rock band called Spinal Tap, who are legendary for, among other things, being the loudest band in England. And we have in the original This is Spinal Tap, this very funny documentary about this rock group that really doesn't know what it's doing. They can play their instruments and they can do the stuff you have to do to be a rock band, but the kind of things where they get lost walking around looking for the entrance that'll bring them on the stage to do their concert and things like that. So it's a very funny movie. So now in the new movie, Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues, Marty DeBerge is back, still played by Rob Reiner, who also directed this movie. And it's now about 40 years later. And Marty DeBerge, the fictional director, visits the daughter of the original manager of the group and finds out that she has a contract that her father left her that requires Tap, as the band is always called, to do one more concert. So, okay, it looks like it's time for a reunion concert here, except that the band hasn't played together for decades. And when the band broke up, they weren't all getting along together. So it's not clear just how it will go if they try to get together again now and play this final reunion concert. So that's what the movie's about. So Marty, our fictional director, has to go around and visit the different members of the band, and he sees how they decide to get together. And one of the amusing things about this film is we find out what these guys have been doing over the past approximately 40 years. Quite a number of the funniest things in Spinal Tap 2 are about cheese. It turns out that the old lead guitarist, a guy named Nigel Tufnell, has been running a shop. He has a shop that sells cheese and guitars, and he's even willing to trade cheese for guitars or trade guitars for cheese. And he is playing in a local band, and so he's there. He's going to maybe come back in and do this on. Another one, the old lead singer and guitarist of the group, is now doing music for the music that you hear when you're on hold on your phone, that kind of thing. Also, if you remember one of the women in the original movie, Janine, a pretty wild character, well, of course, she's now a nun. So anyway, and then there's others too. One of them is now running a glue museum and et cetera, et cetera. So despite their various tensions and problems and conflicts that they had way back in the day, they are now willing to get together and do this concert again, which they're obliged to do anyway. So they get together and they go out to New Orleans, which is where the concert is going to take place. And there's some rather amusing New Orleans humor. For example, they're staying in one of these places that's called a ghost house, where tourists can come and see some of the old New Orleans ghosts. So the band are staying in this house because they can afford it, that kind of thing. And there's tourists coming through to try to see some ghosts and detect ghosts with their ghost meters, that kind of thing. And that's kind of amusing, too. And then as the movie goes along, a couple of guest stars come into the film, and they're the real people who come by to sort of maybe offer some advice to Spinal Tap and maybe help Spinal Tap out getting together for their reunion. One of them is the great Paul McCartney, the former Beatle, who comes by and plays himself. And another one is Elton John, and he comes by and he plays himself as well, too. And the end of the original Spinal Tap movie, let's just say things didn't go all that well for the group. The end of this movie is positively disastrous in more than one way for different characters. It really is quite a phenomenal, almost explosive kind of climax that Spinal Tap 2 comes to, but it's very funny. Poor Elton John does some of the worst suffering. But anyway, it's fun to see him in the movie. It's a lot of fun to see Paul McCartney in the movie, and it's fun to see the guys from the original Spinal Tap movie come back, and they're all so much older, as am I, and as are we all after 40 years, but they're still game and they're still doing their stuff, and it's still a funny movie. So again, Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. I can't say it's as good as the original. This is Spinal Tap. Really check that out again, folks. It's worth seeing some more times, but it's a pretty funny movie, and I did enjoy it. Now, for our next movie of the day that I want to talk about is called The Baltimoreans. I happen to live in Baltimore, and I saw this movie at the very first regular screening of it in a local movie theater that I go to with some frequency, and the entire theater was filled with, we call ourselves Baltimoreans, not Baltimoreans. The theater was full of Baltimoreans, me and all the others. The place was jam-packed, sold out, first showing of the run. And I have to say that most of the Baltimoreans around me were just laughing their heads off. They thought it was hilarious. I can honestly report that I didn't laugh once. Now, I have lived in Baltimore for quite a while now, although I'm from New York before that, and I've never really taken all that much of a liking to Baltimore, where I've lived now for approximately 20 years. So I'm not saying I didn't find the movie because I have some loyalty to Baltimore and because I found the movie offensive. In fact, I just didn't find it funny. I think the title is silly, The Baltimoreans. It's too easy as a pun, and I just didn't find the movie funny. Anyway, here's what it's about. Our main character is a recovering alcoholic who is also an improv comic. And on Christmas Eve, he's visiting in Baltimore, and something goes horribly wrong with one of his teeth. So he has to find a dentist who will treat him right away, immediately, and take care of this dental disaster that he is having at that moment. He manages to find a dentist, played by Liz Larson. I should mention that the main character, the guy with the bad tooth and the former improv comic, is played by Michael Strassner, who's a pretty new face. And, you know, he has a lot of energy. I'll give him that. And the dentist is played by Liz Larson. So he goes to get treated by this dentist on an emergency basis. And then, of course, this is a rom-com, it turns out. So little by little, a relationship develops between our dental patient, whose name is Cliff, and our dentist, whose name is Dee Dee, and they end up wandering around together and doing different things together on Christmas Eve. Neither one of them is very happy. He has this horrible tooth problem, and he's got other problems in his life. And she, in the meanwhile, has recently gotten divorced, and she's going through a terrible time with her ex-husband. And now it's Christmas Eve, and they're both pretty unhappy. And so they become kind of friends, and eventually it looks like they're probably going to become lovers because, again, this is a rom-com. So I did not find the main characters, played by Michael Strassner and Liz Larson, very appealing. I didn't find them funny, as I've already said more than once. Another character in the movie is Cliff's fiancée, Brittany, who's played by Olivia Lucardi. And she's really nice, and she really wants the best for her relationship with Cliff. But now Cliff, of course, is running around with this dentist. And anyway, various complications come from there. Among other things, the logistics of this movie are absolutely preposterous. People do so many things in the course of one night, and they go to so many different places in and around Baltimore, and they just get involved in so many different kinds of things that I just found that, well, I guess it's a rom-com, it's a comedy, it's a farce, so that's okay. But I found it stretched my credibility quite a lot, let's say. But mainly, I didn't find the main characters appealing. I didn't find their situations all that funny. And again, I can honestly say I didn't laugh once. I think I might have chuckled a tiny little bit one time out of a movie which is roughly 2 hours long. So that's not very much. But again, got to report the news here. All the Baltimoreans around me were laughing their heads off. They thought it was hilarious. And then I thought, well, maybe it's just because it's about Baltimore. It's very much, you get to see a lot of places at Baltimore. At one point in the distance, you see the building I've lived in for about 20 years. But now the movie's been getting very good reviews elsewhere, too. So it's not just a Baltimore thing. So if you like really silly rom-coms with what I don't regard as very appealing characters, then you'll probably have a good time at The Baltimoreans. But if you're looking for a movie that's genuinely funny, I would suggest going to Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues, or better yet, seeking out the original This Is Spinal Tap, which is the funniest of all these movies I've mentioned today. Our final film today is different. It's a documentary, and it is an unusual sort of a history here. It's new. It's actually streaming on YouTube, and you can see it for free. It's right there. All you have to do is just look it up. And a lot of things that I look at on YouTube, the video quality is really, really bad. This movie looks really, really good. And again, it's free. And it's kind of a comedy, but it's a documentary, and so it's also serious. And I had a good time with it. It's called Listers, A Glimpse into Extreme Birdwatching. And that's exactly what the movie is about. It is a documentary about a couple of young men who somehow get curious about competitive bird watching and the idea that people who do bird watching, or what an old bird watching friend of mine always insisted should be called birding, what they call a big year, which is when you decide to spend a year spotting as many different kinds of birds as you can possibly spot. So these two brothers, played by real-life people, Quentin Reiser and Owen Reiser, they decide they're curious about this and they want to find out about it, so why not jump into it? And so they decide to become extreme bird watchers, to have their own big year, even though they've never done this before. So they get a hold of a minivan, and they travel around in that, and they live out of that for this year, and they travel all around the United States, the lower 48, to have their big year to see how many species of birds they can spot. But again, they're beginners, so they're learning about how to do this at the same time as they're doing it. And we, watching the movie, get to understand this too. We learn a lot of things about birding or bird watching. And we also see the kinds of situations that real-life people traveling around the U.S. in a van get into. The van breaks down. There are horrific mosquitoes. They can't understand how birders can put up with this kind of thing. And oh my gosh, and it's hard to get decent food, and they get sick, and this and that happens, the other thing. So it's an amusing documentary about both the pleasures and the frustrations of trying to learn about something that you've never learned about before, namely birding, and by jumping into it with both feet and trying to do it in a very big way by having this, what they call a big year. Now, what makes this movie most worthwhile for me, and by the way, I'm not particularly into birds, is the fact that it has all of these wonderful shots along the way of birds. The movie is beautifully photographed. So yeah, we have a whole lot of the brothers traveling around and having their little challenges and difficult things and meeting other birders, by the way. Interesting to see the great, very varied types of people who are into this sport or hobby or whatever it is. I guess it's a real sport. But also along the way, they take pictures of birds that they have spotted, pictures of birds that they are looking for and that they finally find. Some of them are still pictures, some of them are videos, and they're just beautiful to look at. Yes, some of the birds they find are pretty rare. They have some luck, and they have some good luck and some bad luck as well. Some of the birds they find are pretty ordinary, because you got to spot those too and put them on your list. That's why the movie is called Listers. It's all about making lists of different kinds. But we, while we watch these guys, we get to participate in what they're doing vicariously, but we also see these wonderful, wonderful shots, both still shots and videos of just beautiful looking birds out there in the natural world. Sometimes it's a fairly exotic natural world. Sometimes it's a really ordinary natural world, you know, alongside some parking lot somewhere. But we do see a whole lot of just beautiful nature shots and bird shots and just shots of what goes on in the skies above us and the branches around us that people like me hardly ever even notice. So they're having a good time learning about this. We can have a good time learning about it along with them. It's a fairly long movie. You got to get ready for that. But it's just fun. And again, I'm going to say it one more time, it's beautiful to look at. So again, the title of the movie is Listers, A Glimpse into Extreme Bird Watching. It was directed by Owen Reiser, who also appears in the movie along with his brother Quentin Reiser. And it's just a nice movie, and you can watch it for free on YouTube. And that doesn't happen every day either. And it looks great and it looks beautiful. And I had a really good time watching it. And I'm even not especially into birds. So Listers, A Glimpse into Extreme Bird Watching, probably my favorite movie that I've seen recently. I had a good time with it. Enjoy it. Go out there and put it on your list. So that is my somewhat list-making story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues, The Baltimoreans, and Listers, A Glimpse into Extreme Birdwatching.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.